Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The University of South Dakota has received a grant from the National Science Foundation to develop the South Dakota Data Store. It's a platform to enable data-intensive research and education. Doug Genewine is USD's Director of Research Computing, and he joins me now in the studios in Vermilion. Doug, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Lori. Glad to be here.
All right. Give me the background of this data store. South Dakota data store. How do you explain that to people?
Yes. So an easy way to think about it is a big hard drive in the sky.
Okay. Right?
So kind of like your Dropbox or your Google Drive, but maybe a little different than that. The reason that we need this kind of thing is that data-driven research and scholarly work is growing very rapidly. So scientific discovery driven by looking at large sets of data is a very rapidly growing form of scientific discovery. And what does that mean? That means that researchers have very large sets of data that are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So 20 or 30 years ago, you would not need something like this. All the data would fit on your PC or on a floppy disk, if people remember what those are. But now things have gotten big. On top of all of that, collaborations have gotten bigger, right? You don't see as many research projects growing out of a single laboratory. You have to collaborate to get funded, to get published, to advance science. And especially in South Dakota, where we're not as big as the other schools, right? We need to work together. So anything that will aid that collaboration is important. That's why it's a network-based data system, so that folks can share these gigantic data sets with each other around the state.
Is it mostly within state, one organization, one researcher sharing data with another researcher, or does it cross the borders into a national collaboration and connection?
It certainly can support those kinds of things. Right now, the initial work funded by NSF, this two-year project, is just within South Dakota. So the collaborations right now, today, are USD, South Dakota State, Black Hills State, and School of Mines are the four institutions involved right now. But absolutely can support data exchange across the borders, across the world, in exactly the same manner. So we're kind of piloting it in South Dakota first.
So what exists right now? Nothing, something that's just getting brought to the next level, or are you sort of starting from scratch and how to create something that makes that data transfer possible?
So right now, there's a lot of little things in place, but the big centralized system does not exist. So this isn't improving on something we already have. This is sort of building something that we need. Mm-hmm. Right now, individual laboratories are largely managing their data themselves. You get a stack of hard drives from Walmart and put them on the shelf. That sort of works. Those hard drives don't last very long, and it's hard to share that data, right? If it's on your shelf, you got to know which hard drive your data is on, and then you have to mail it to someone or plug it in and transfer it, all that kinds of stuff. So all these kind of little siloed solutions, mini solutions, that don't address the large-scale problem of sharing data among institutions.
How long has it been a problem? How long has it been something researchers have been butting up against and saying, if only?
Very good question. So, right, it hasn't always been a problem. Only in the last few years have we really seen this start to become apparent. Mm-hmm. We have folks with data on CD-ROMs and DVDs in a cabinet that, you know, going back, you know, 5 or 6 years. And 5 or 6 years ago, that maybe made sense. You have a small amount of data. CDs are cheap. But now you have a whole stack of them, and you don't always know what's on them. You don't know how long they're going to live. And again, it's hard to share with other people. In the last few years, things have grown, and especially with advances in the other aspects of what we call cyber infrastructure, research IT. So the computers have gotten faster, networks have gotten faster. 10 years ago, maybe we didn't have a strong enough network to make data sharing possible. Maybe we didn't have the big enough, strong enough computers to process and create this kind of data, or the equipment to analyze and produce the data. So it all kind of comes to a boiling point now, where we have the network that we need, we have the computation that we need, when the big missing piece was data.
How long is it good for? How fast does it change? Once you start working on something now, 2 years from now, are you working on something again? Or can you lay an infrastructure that can, by its design, build and grow and deal with the challenges of the future?
Right. Well, that's another very good question. So one of the things you need to do when you design a system like this is ensure scalability, right? Make sure that it can grow And certainly get bigger and operate more quickly as time goes on. And we built that into the architecture, not getting into the nuts and bolts, but it is certainly expandable in terms of size and connectivity speed. So as far as data archival stuff that you want to store for a long time and maybe read or look at once or maybe never, stuff you just have to hold on to, those kinds of systems can live a long time, maybe 6 to 10 years. And in technology time, that's an eternity. And the sort of data sharing, big data access system can live up almost as long. Those systems change more quickly, right? The storage capacity gets bigger much more quickly. And the scientists, I make it sound very good, right? I make it sound like this will last forever. Even at the best supported system, the rate at which the scientists are producing data is growing so much more quickly than the rate at which we are able to produce hardware that it'll never be enough, right? The data is exploding much more quickly than the hardware is advancing.
Are researchers in South Dakota having that collaboration and connection on a human scale? And the heart of that question is, are they going to use it? I mean, are they already talking to each other and are going to be ready to really put this to the best use? Or is there going to be a learning curve where you're going to have to say, look, you can share this in this way? Do they have to come along?
They do have to come along. And as we developed the project, we spoke to different investigators, different scientists from these different labs, 12 different projects that we included in the system initially, and learned what they needed and looked at how they're doing things now, how they're storing things, how they're sharing things now, if they are at all, and then showed them how the new system would work. So the answer to the question, yes, there is a learning curve. The kind of system we're trying to do is largely web-based, so people know how to use a browser, so that's friendly. Moving big data, again, without getting into nuts and bolts, is complicated and can be error-prone. So the more friendly we can make it, the better. So doing things out of the browser, make it look kind of like Dropbox and things like that people are used to, is what we're aiming for. But absolutely, there is a learning curve, and education, outreach, and training is part of this, of the funded work.
Were you able to get feedback from them that sort of changed what you were doing?
Yes. So you can see on the NSF's website talks about this system has two different tiers, one for archiving data that you store for a long time and maybe don't look at very often, and another tier for sharing data, stuff that you're interacting with more often and sharing with other institutions, other organizations, and how to make that balance, how to split that, how to split the money, so how much money goes to which section, how big is each section. That was absolutely informed by the researchers. What we took away from that was the largest unmet, or the biggest need, was archival. People needed a better way to store data for a long time. And the reason, again, we didn't have this need 10 years ago, because nowadays the federal granting agencies, like National Science Foundation, like National Institutes of Health, have much stronger requirements on data management. You have to store your data for this amount of time. It has to be accessible in these kinds of ways, even after your research grant is done. So the requirements for responsible data management are much greater now than they were even 5 years ago.
How long before we start seeing an impact, before the scientists and the researchers start seeing an impact? And then how long before that impact might be noticeable to the rest of us, in the sense that that synergy is happening, those collaborations are happening that improve the way the process is done and the results?
Great question. So you might see something yet this year, as we're still in the process of architecting and purchasing, so nothing is on the ground right now. But later this year, the system will come online, and then there's another year of training and deployment, integrating those other campuses and things like that. So by the end of the two-year project, what we hope to have accomplished is made South Dakota as a whole, and especially these four initial campuses, more competitive for research funding. That's always a good measure of the research and scholarly work coming out of the schools. So if we can improve their fundability, then that will be a success. That would be something noticeable.
What's the potential impact then? I mean, what really, in your imagination, spin it forward and tell me what could happen if this is all working as it should?
Okay. So in terms of particular projects, here's an example. The folks that are analyzing data from the Homestake Mine, which is now the Sanford Underground Research Facility, right? The folks here at USD doing dark matter research, lots of data coming out of there. And they can only collaborate in as much as they can share their data with other people. So bigger discoveries coming out of work like that. A big portion of this project was supporting genomics research. A lot of genomics going on at Black Hills State, South Dakota State, and here at USD. All three campuses have different sort of focuses in that area. I'm not a scientist. I can't really get into the details of how all of that works. But there's initiatives at all those three campuses. And the big impact to those three campuses would be more faster rate of discovery, right? The whole role of research IT is reducing time to discovery.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And recruiting other people coming in or student scientists wanting to stay in South Dakota because the environment is better than it was before, maybe.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. That cyber infrastructure is an important component of recruiting students and faculty. Faculty researchers want to work at a place where they have the tools that they need. So it's not uncommon when people are interviewing here at USD, we talk to them and say, here's the infrastructure that we have. Here's the advanced computing. Now we can say, here's the data management. Here's the data storage.
Are we ahead of other states, behind other states? Is this something that probably other states are starting to, you know, turn the wheels toward?
Lots of states are doing this kind of thing, and that's good. Our neighboring states are doing these kinds of things. I spoke to folks in Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma to kind of learn how they've tried to address these problems. Yeah. And it helps us kind of keep us on the same page as them, compatible with them, and have kind of a regional cyber infrastructure that makes sense, right? If people in South Dakota need to share data with Nebraska, for example, that those systems are architected in a way that they're compatible with each other. So it kind of brings us alongside our neighboring states.
So let's finish up with how you keep it secure. What are the sort of security challenges? The same as other security challenges? It just that's the world we live in, or there's special challenges that you're facing?
There are security challenges, and we address them in the simplest way is in the project description. We said, for example, we are not in this 2-year initial period going to store things like health data, federally regulated data, like FERPA and HIPAA and that kind of stuff. Not going to store that kind of thing so that those security concerns are not a concern for us because we won't store that kind of thing. Other kinds of security, the system does support data encryption, both the data moving into the system and data at rest residing on the system itself. If the system were to be compromised, the data could be encrypted. The folks that use the system have the option to do that. They don't have to. Encryption can slow things down. But absolutely supports, you know, standard levels of encryption for both data in motion and data at rest.
All right. Doug Genewine, anything else that you want to say about this project? National Science Foundation, major grant, $200,000 grant for the South Dakota Data Store.
Thank you very much, Lori. Look for new exciting developments in cyber infrastructure in South Dakota. This is the first of many projects.
Come back and give us an update.
Absolutely.
We'll keep track of it. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.